This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Just a few days away from the holiday break, and so kind of a mid-year update at Roseburg Public Schools. Superintendent Jared Gordon, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
My pleasure, and Merry Christmas to you.
So, as you get ready for some time off for staff, this has definitely been another year of a lot of challenges for educators and for those leading districts, really in all areas. What are some of the biggest challenges you've had since September?
Well, I'd say we are so thankful to be back in person. And some of the challenges we experienced last year, I think, have been in some ways mitigated by the fact we've got our kids back in front of us, and that's been wonderful. We've got great kids, amazing staff, incredible families, a great board. And so I think there's, of course, we have challenges always in education, but we've got great staff who are looking for solutions, and they're adapting, and we're just happy to be off and going right now.
So are you still short on personnel?
Yeah, staffing is still an issue. I often say the margins are very thin. Things are relatively covered. We have several open positions still, and we have great talent out there. We're always seeking great talent. But when there are issues that staff then need to be out of the building with their sickness, the margins in getting staff back in the building has been a bit of a challenge this year. The other big challenge for us, maybe the most Herculean challenge, has been in transportation. And we're still short lots of drivers. Our routes are too long, kids on the bus too long. We're working with our contracted services on that.
So when you say too long, I don't know what a typical amount of time is. Of course, it may vary depending on how far out you live, but how much longer are kids on the bus in some cases?
Oh, it's actually been, and to some extent, untenable, I think, for families and kids. We have kids on the bus for in some routes. It used to be, prior to this year, you would maybe occasionally see a double-backed route in which a driver's assuming two routes. This year, we've had a driver's assuming three routes as almost a practice at times. And we have kids on the bus for, in some routes, up to 2.5 hours.
So would that be elementary or upper grades, too?
Yes.
Wow. So you get out of school at 3:10 or whatever it is, and you could be getting home after 5:30?
Yeah, we've worked with our partner, First Student, on this, and I think things are improving slowly. The trick in transportation is currently it's about 6 to 8 weeks from application to getting behind the wheel. And so it's not as quick of a turnaround with licensure and a CDL and working through the DMV and as some of the positions we have, but they are actively recruiting. We are actively trying to support that. Our end game is to make sure, relative to all staffing issues, but with transportation in particular, that our kids have a safe, reliable drive, and our parents can ensure their kids are on a safe and reliable, consistent drive as well.
And for a lot of routes, isn't it that they may be picking up from a middle school and the high school, or one or the other, and getting those kids out and then running to an elementary?
Right, and that's kind of a typical for us, where they are in a they are kind of in a scale. They finish a route and head to another building. But these combined routes have complicated things for families and kids. Anytime you think about a really long route like that, it just leads to the potential of other challenges when you're on the bus that long.
And that also is probably an issue if they're getting done that late, even when you're looking at buses that are then needing to be used, whether it's the same driver or somebody else, for sports transportation.
Absolutely. We don't talk about it often, but we have events after school daily for kids, and this is athletics, activities, other extracurricular things that kids are doing. And so it's the shortage of drivers staffing-wise has really impacted, at least on the back end, on the district side, trying to figure that piece out. I don't think we've relied on parents at times to do some driving for us, and that's been something that's new and unique that I don't love. But I'm sure parents probably wouldn't have that be their first choice either. As needed, we've done that, but we've been able to cover through a variety of ways, some chartered routes and some other things to make sure kids have access to those athletic and activity events.
So with the tight staffing, when it comes to classrooms, and here we go, you know, after the break into wintertime where you tend to have a little bit more sickness in normal times, I mean, just how tight is it when with the shortage of substitutes?
It can get tight, and I think my goal has been to make sure that the service level isn't impacted in a noticeable way. I can give an example. Last week at the high school, we had 37 absences. That's pretty significant. 37 absences. Now, some of those were filled, and we had some of those not filled. And so what we work on in those situations and those days is to reorganize people, and that needs to happen either late at night, early in the morning, when we know those absences are coming, and some you don't. Sometimes you don't always know until the morning someone's not feeling well. So the staff, my mom used to always say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And I think that's kind of been one of the mantras this year. We need to be flexible, need to be adaptive. And staffing still, I think, like many industries, not just schools, whatever businesses, many of whom I talk to also are dealing with similar issues with staffing.
And now with the state standards being shifted on what is needed to be able to substitute, at least for a while, has that helped at all?
Yeah, I think it could potentially help. I'll just talk personally. I think we're trying to, my number one goal is to make sure we have highly qualified people in every classroom. And the adjustments by the TSPC, the licensing group, to ease some of those staffing things have helped. We haven't just shifted, folks that haven't ever been in a classroom with kids into classrooms with kids. I just need, personally as superintendent, need to make sure that the quality and the training to deliver that content work with those kids is there. But we have made adjustments as needed.
Obviously, in all sectors, the staffing has become kind of an issue. Some sort of COVID-related concerns. Some other people, I think over the course of the pandemic, it seems like some people are looking around going, wait a second, this isn't really what I want to do. And then they change jobs, and then you're left with less in the particular area. Does it tie into pay scales at all?
Well, I think the thing we potentially struggle with is, there's a lot of different ways to work right now. And there's a lot of organizations around the country with a work from home model that provide a tremendous amount of flexibility. Our model isn't that model. Throughout the pandemic, we've been at school every day, whether kids have been with us or not. And so I think in the short and long term, it's really about how to build the brand of why being with kids at school is something, if you love that, we're the right place for that. I do think in the short and long term, we'll need to think about how to think about some of these, global trends around things like work at home, some of the flexibilities employers can provide given what their industry is. Although we do have some virtual options for kids, which has been great, the lion's share of our work will be in person and should be in person. And so it's just something we need to think about how to market why that's such a great thing to be with kids every day.
As we kind of work our way through this pandemic and where we are in the current phase, how's the district doing with the COVID-19 issues?
I think remarkably well, all things considered. We have a fantastic operations team. I have three registered nurses and a whole team. We meet weekly to look at trends in our own district and across the state and nationally. We've tried to be really consistent about getting to a yes on things like activities and athletics, especially when we talk about overnight trips and out-of-town trips. It's been great. We have there still are a number of active COVID cases in our area. We know that. By latest metrics, 87% of our COVID cases are at-home exposures. About 12% have been through athletics and activities, and about 1% have been within the classroom and within the school.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio. Tomorrow's program, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools in here now talking about how the district is doing in the middle of the school year right now. You just mentioned some of the data on COVID cases. What about how staff and students are dealing with all the current protocols that are going right now?
Our kids have been amazing. Our staff's been great. Our parents have been fantastic. We really have talked this year about really trying to mentally think about the COVID situation as an endemic. And I think, you know, of course, we're in a pandemic, but really, at some point, we need to move forward with what we're doing and not be focusing on the pandemic itself, have those safety protocol, but really moving forward on the connecting with kids and really accelerating opportunities for kids and high-quality instruction. There are still some health and safety things we're doing. The most visible is the masking right now. And it's really become something that kids just, I don't think anybody loves it, but it's just something we do. We do that so we can keep kids safe. We do that so we can stay in school and have that be open. And kids have been just great about it. We've been able to do some fun things even in the midst of the pandemic, athletics, activities. We had a combined middle school dance this weekend with hundreds of kids there. Even in that, with masks, it's been great. And the kids have done a super job. They're super adaptable. The kids have been great, and staff's been great.
What about the vaccine mandate? Did that end up costing you some staff?
No, it didn't. And, I think there was a lot of chatter around the state about that, the vaccine mandate. I felt strongly that exceptions, those religious exceptions, I approved religious exceptions as they came in, and it really wasn't an issue. We had 100% compliance on that. We did have one staff member decide not to stay, but we complied in terms of, you know, setting that expectation of what that needed to be, and that went well. I think it was a good opportunity for staff to feel heard. Not everybody on our staff is vaccinated, and I've had some people reach out and say, you know, that's how can you do that? The truth is, we've had no evidence of spread in the building. And given the current our current safety protocols, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. So if you're an unvaccinated staff and you've continued to follow the masking guidelines, keeping distance, and testing when you think you might have a symptom, that has been super effective, still have no evidence of spread. So I think the way we handled that in terms of respecting people and having conversations, and we had lots of conversations with people who had questions, I think it was a trust builder instead of a trust killer.
Now, one of the things that pops up more these days outside of that is organizations in all areas losing people kind of due to, I guess, what I would call COVID burnout, that they just all the protocols, all the things you have to do. And for some people, it's like, now time to do something else.
Yeah, I think we've tried to make this, our North Star has been, let's get back and let's get our kids back. I think getting back to why we do what we do is important. I think if an organization is focused on the protocols, all the things that are different, all the things that frustrate people, we just haven't had that focus. Our focus has been, we need to do these certain things so that we can have kids back in our classroom. And I think that's helped ease back into full-time in-person instruction for us.
With kind of the roller coaster that is a pandemic, however this plays out going into spring and summer and all that, do you worry about that even maybe being more of an issue later on, after people have dealt with this for two full school years and at some point decide, you know, I could go do something else?
Yeah, it's a real issue, and I don't want to minimize the fact that this, I think, has been on the minds of lots of people. I was actually at a conference a few weeks ago and talking to superintendents across the state, and it was the conversation about, you know, do I want to be doing this anymore, is a very active conversations in many parts of the state. There's a lot of, you know, pressure to do things correctly, and of course the mandates come with varying beliefs in terms of, you know, should we be doing this or doing more or less of this or this at all. I think our school district is in kind of a unique position. we were the first ones to open up in the pandemic of large schools to get back. We've done it really successfully. The fact we've got our kids back, I think, has really helped our staff. Where we are at, I think, mentally right now is a better spot than last year when we were trying to manage, at one point, remote learning and not having our kids with us. I hope people are feeling, and that's our kids especially, our parents, our staff, are feeling a sense of, just so feel blessed to do what we do.
One of the aspects from Oregon Health Association and Oregon Department of Education is something called Test to Stay, and I'm not sure a lot of people, I'm not even sure I totally know what that means.
Yeah, so as has happened throughout the pandemic, there have been, I think, attempts to increase access for kids to come. And so the Test to Stay program, people may have heard about. In our school district, so essentially what this is it's kind of a, the language on it's a little bit confusing. It's not really a testing program. Europe implemented something like this. A couple states, Utah, implemented something like this called Test to Stay. This is essentially a modified quarantine protocol. It really doesn't impact Roseburg Public Schools. I'll tell you why. The reason is, all year, and this is part of the guidance that was updated in the early fall this year, is that when we have a positive case in a school, unlike last year where we quarantined a wide group of kids per the regulations, we are only quarantining, which is also now per the regulations as well, or only actually isolating the positive case. We're not doing quarantines unless someone in that classroom is positive. So the Test to Stay thing has got some traction as a really good idea. I think if you're in a school district that's still doing mass quarantines, it would help. There really are very few cases in which Test to Stay will help here because we're not quarantining in the event of a positive case, just doing isolation unless someone's positive. There are a few, the limitations with Test to Stay are it has to be an in-class exposure. So if it was an at-home exposure it helped us out with, it'd be a tremendous help. We really only have a couple situations in which that could help. Band or PE come to mind, band or choir, where kids aren't masked, but there's a positive case. At that point, the Test to Stay could help out. What that means is a kid would test periodically, and if they're negative, they can continue coming to class.
So let's talk about some other, maybe more normal topics that districts are often looking at. What about sort of long-term planning for the future?
Oh, yeah. It's been the world we're in. We're still, really looking forward in terms of moving forward on the district's priorities. We've had a focus on increasing rigor, increasing opportunities, and increasing choice for kids. It's always been my belief, if you can get those three things into a school system, into a school, district, or into a state, whatever that is, if you can give kids more opportunities, if you can increase the rigor for kids and that relevance piece, and you can give them more choice in what they learn, you'll have better outcomes. And we're seeing that, actually. We're actually seeing an uptick in the kind of achievement that I want to see in terms of, graduation and kids on track. And so we're still focused on those and really keying in on the student experience. What does student learning look like in our buildings?
What about the potential of a bond proposal next year?
Yeah, great timing. Tomorrow night we have a board meeting at 6 o'clock p.m. And we have had a group of community members for the last several months working on developing what they have priority projects I'd like to see the board to consider. And they will be presenting their recommendation to the board tomorrow night in terms of projects they'd like the board to consider in a potential bond.
And is that still slated for next spring?
Oh, tomorrow night, the board will take this under advisement. They haven't determined a specific timeline, but the filing deadline is in February. So my guess is if the board's going to move forward on a bond, that would happen the next month or two.
And what about other things the board's been working on?
Yeah, the board's been great. We have some new board members. We're working on several things around policy and board goals, and board's been super working on supporting staff and kids.
So what do you have planned for this upcoming break?
I'll be working part of the break, but it's a good thing I love what I do. Hopefully spending some time with some family and reconnecting with my own kids in life.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden, Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.